to talk about, there's so many stumbling blocks that hinder us from going to the cross, and just wanted to talk about specifically today a stumbling block that hinders us from coming to Jesus and taking up our cross, because when Jesus said that he wanted us to follow him and be his disciples, he said we have to pick up our cross, and that essentially means denying ourselves. But there's so many things that we have to deny in ourselves. There's a lot of things there. and those things that hinder us become stumbling blocks. And Peter was speaking about these things in 1 Peter chapter 2 when he says they stumble over the stone of stumbling, which is Jesus Christ himself. Because when we refuse to pick up a cross in faith and fall after Jesus, we end up stumbling over the things that he's asking us to lay down on the cross. And so we fall on our faces, right? And that's why it says that if we believe, the righteous man who has faith, he will get back up again. We know we will have stumbles, but it's like the song we sang, when I fall down, you pick me up. But that's to those who have faith in Jesus. And so Peter said that those who stumble, they stumble because of disobedience. They disobey the word. And in disobedience, they end up stumbling on this offense. It's an offense of the cross, towards and against the cross. And he also said that those who believe, that stone is precious, and then therefore they don't stumble on that stone, the ones who believe. So opposite of this disobedience, which leads to a stumble, is faith. Right? Faith causes us to take up our cross. So there's offenses and stumbling blocks that hinder us from coming to the cross, which lead to disobedience. On the other end, there's those who have faith, who don't stumble, who are willing to take up their cross. And for this reason, Jesus went to the cross for the joy before him, because he believed that all the Father had for him was the will of God. And that's why he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. And that essentially is the prayer that you pray when you're facing your cross, whatever that cross is that you're confronting. Is it's a battle of my will versus God's will. And when I say not my will, but your will, that's coming to him in faith, trusting that through this dying process, Jesus is going to bring life. And so this offense that I want to talk about today is specifically with a desire to seek the approval of man, which is a form of idolatry, and we can look at that in the Word. And it's in all of us, it's in the flesh. It's by nature, and our sin nature, we seek the approval of man, we seek to honor man, we fear man. And this is all rooted in pride. Because if we come to the cross, denying self is denying my will and my pride. I have to be broken. And so faith, in order to receive grace by faith, I have to humble myself. Because Jesus says he gives grace to the humble. And so because of our pride, we seek an image or a reputation, and we seek the approval of man. And when we choose the praises of men over the praises of God and the honor of God, which comes by following after Jesus and after his cross, that is bringing an image and a God into our life, which is ourself. And this came to me more clearly after watching this testimony of Howard Pittman. Some of you, a lot of you probably seen it. Howard Pittman was a minister, and 30 years, he said, he preached the gospel and handed out tracts and had people into his home and did a lot of good works. And he had some type of death experience and out-of-body experience, and he soberly shares a testimony saying, you know, I'm not here to convince you, I'm just here to tell you what I, you know, saw and heard and witnessed. And when he stood before God, after God had, this is prior to God bringing him back to life, is he heard the voice of God, a fearful voice, speaking to him, telling him that his faith was dead, his works were in vain, and that he lived a Laodicean Christian life, and that he, all along, all the things he had done, he was serving a false god. And as he was trying, he was having an argument with God during this time. He's pleading for his life. And as he was arguing with God, he was trying to convince God, based on his works that he had done, all the things he had done, how he laid his life down for the Lord, that, you know, he was doing God's works. And God says, those are my works, but they were, and my people offer me these works, he said, but in your case, those works are in vain. So they don't count. They're in fact dead works, is what he was saying to him. These are dead works. And so he said, but the one whom you did those for, he said, was a false god. And he doesn't tell us who that false God is until the end of the testimony. And he's arguing back and forth with God, and he's God, the Father, is saying to him, "You served a false God." He says, "No, I served you." He says, "You served a false God." "No," he says, "I served you." Back and forth, back and forth. And then he tells him who his false God is. He says, S-E-L-F. And he got a wake-up call that he did all these things for honor. Everything he had done was for the approval of man, for the glory of man. Essentially, is what he did them for. So those works were not done out of faith, and were not done for the glory of Jesus. The motives of his heart were revealed. Even though, you know, pastoring of a church, all his flock and all the people that knew him would have said and seen him perhaps as a God-fearing man or a righteous man, God was able to look right into his heart and see that his motives were wrong. And this brought a fear of God when I watched this, because each and every one of us know why we do the things we do, if we're serving God with a pure heart, right, for the glory of God, and not for any motive or ambition of our own. And this is a big stumbling block. This seeking for the approval and honor from men. It's a stumbling block for the offense of the cross that the Apostle Paul, you know, preached against. And he saw, the Apostle Paul had to deal with this often with many of his churches. The fruit of that was that it led to circumcision. Now, circumcision is a clearly manifested form of this type of religion where we seek the approval of men and not the approval of God, because we have a form of godliness. And that can be anything. That can be like, you know, going to church and doing the things you need to do to clear your conscience. But really, your motives in your heart aren't to serve God. So what's happened is we've lifted up a false god, whether it be ourself or some form of religion, which to God is vain, it's vanity. And so Paul preached against this and the circumcision. In fact, he said in Romans, he said that a Jew is not one who is one outwardly, and circumcision is not outward. He said one who is circumcised inwardly of the heart. This is the true Jew. This is the true Christian. And he said, whose praise is not from men, but from God. And he just throws it right in there. Because Paul understood that when we do religious things and our hearts aren't seeking after God full with a wholeheartedness, it's like circumcision. It's like a form of godliness. And it's all rooted in a praise for men. It's all in having a sort of a an approval from man, that kind of, they look at me and they see that I'm still kind of righteous, or I do things that maybe the world, compared to the world or some people in the world, you know, I'm not so bad, right? Compare myself among myself, commend myself with other people. And this is what we do to cleanse our conscience. It's like what, for example, Cain, when Cain was offering sacrifice. Right? Cain offered a sacrifice and so did Abel. When Cain did it, he did it because probably just to appease his conscience. You know, he didn't do it as a true sacrifice from his, he didn't give the first and the best. He gave something, but it was from God to God, it wasn't acceptable. And that's how we can offer our lives. And this is what happened in this case with this harpyman. And God is looking for faith. And faith manifests in a death and a dying to self. It's really, I'm just seeing this more clearly, that we can ask ourselves, am I really picking up my cross? Am I dying inside? Right? Have I been dying to things? And is it pleasing God? Is it bringing forth a sweet aroma to God? Paul says that our bodies are to be offered as a living sacrifice. And sometimes we do all these things, but if we ask ourselves, we look inside, am I really denying myself? Am I denying my will? Am I really suffering in the flesh, but I have joy at the same time, but I know I'm not giving in to those passions and desires in the flesh? Right? But if I'm not dying and I'm still going on in my life, and I say, yeah, I remember a time when I was really suffering and I had overcome some things, and this cross was present in my life because we're bearing this cross, right? Isn't it true that it says we are like sheep being led to the slaughter? We are being put to death all day long. Right? We're always bearing in our body the dying of Jesus, that this life of Christ may come. And so the evidence of me denying myself and picking up my cross on a daily basis is also that the life of Christ is manifest. And that's why these people who were in the circumcision group and under the law, they didn't have the life. And the Pharisees never had it either, because they were masters of seeking the approval of men. And so they couldn't get life from Jesus, because there was no death, right? And life always comes after death. When there's a cross, as we see in Jesus Christ, it had to be this way, that Jesus would die and suffer under the hands of men, chief priests, and he would be raised again. Why? Because Jesus never sought the honor of men. He sought to please his Father, and that's the only way. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Right? And that would glorify the Father. Not a human glory on earth, but a glory that would come through denying himself. And in denying ourselves, the life of Christ will come. Right? It may come a few days later, it may come in time, it may come right away, but I know that when you've died in your will, the joy can come immediately, even before you've actually died to these things. I've experienced that. I know we have at times. And so I wanted to read in John chapter 12 about these things. Because this is all linked back to unbelief. And if we seek this approval and glory from others, it manifests in many different ways. Fear of man, partiality, seeking to please men. But what's happening is we're robbing God of glory, and so therefore we cannot believe. We cannot have faith in ourselves. If we're struggling with faith, a struggle with faith, we need to search inside our hearts and find out, what am I living for? Am I really living for Jesus, right? Do I really believe in Jesus Christ and in the Word? Because to those who believe, the stone is precious. And that's why you get life. If you believe in the gospel. When you go through your hardships in life, when you're going through trials, you can have hope in Jesus' name, right? It's important for us to have that faith. But if we're lacking this faith and we don't have the life, here's one of the stumbling blocks we can see and look at and see if it's manifesting in our hearts. And it's important for us before we're going to start back here to when Jesus speaks about the cross. Well, let's just start in verse 20 and we'll get the context here. There were certain Greeks, John 12, verse 20, that came to Jesus. It says, they were among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. So here's some Greeks in there. Their motives are they want to see Jesus. And Jesus answers in this way. Well, Philip came first. He came with Andrew, and he told Jesus these things, and this is what Jesus said. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now this is interesting. So Jesus has no intention of just going to visit these Greeks who are interested in seeing him. I'm just seeing something here. You know, it's like something's going on in town, right? Something exciting. There's a man, he's doing miracles, he's preaching the gospel, there's an anointing in his life. And we hear about it, right? So we want to check it out. It's kind of interesting. But really, we're more interested in the excitement of it all, what's going on. And it's like these Greeks, right? And we say, we want to see this Jesus. You know, we want to hear, we want to know about, it's like Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, we know you are a teacher come from God, because no one can do these signs unless he comes from God, from above. And so Nicodemus seemed to believe in this Jesus, but his motives were kind of, this man is doing miracles, he must be of God, right? And what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Jesus saw that Nicodemus had a need and he had a lack. And he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need to be born again. It's not just those who seek me for the excitement and all these things. You know, this man, it's like lifting up a man and glorifying a person, right? Jesus is not interested in that. He wants us to follow after him wholeheartedly, to serve him, because he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why Jesus would ask certain people, his disciples, and say, who do you say the Son of Man is? What do you think about him? You know, well, some say Isaiah or Jeremiah, the prophet. Some say this, some say that. But Jesus wants to know, what do you think about him? Is he just another prophet? Is he a man? Who is Jesus, right? And Peter had the revelation, no, he's the Son of God. And that makes all the difference, because when we see that, our life is not our own. This is the Messiah, this is the Savior. His name shall be called Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. His name also means, I was reading this in a little card, Emmanuel, right? God with us. I was thinking about that. Jesus' name, speaking of Jesus, they shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. What if you knew that God was with you? People are searching and trying to find answers. Where is God? Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. God is with you. These Greeks are searching for Jesus, and Jesus seems to sort of shun them off with these words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And began to speak these words about denying yourself. I believe Jesus was discerning, what are these people who are excited to see me? Why are they coming to me? Are they coming to me with genuine faith? Those who have that kind of faith are willing to lay their life down and forsake their life. And he said in verse 25, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life." And we have to ask ourselves, right? Is the testimony of my life a hating of my life? That doesn't mean I hate my like the job or the circumstances, or I'm grumbling because I hate those things. It's not talking about that. We've heard this before from other brothers. It's hating our soul life, right? It's like hating, I see things in my heart. I see all this wickedness in my heart. I see pride, selfishness. I see rebellion. I see all these things, and I start to hate those things because I see that it grieves the Spirit of God. And this is what it means. We need to hate that part of our life and deny. We'll be willing to deny ourselves. No. Jesus said, if anyone serves me. Now, this, remember, this is all in context of these Greeks coming to Jesus. He's testing the motives. They say, we want to see Jesus. They're coming to follow after him. And Jesus would say, look, if you're coming to serve me, then you're going to have to follow me. We talked about this last week, right? As they would come to Jesus, he would say, look, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but I have no place to lay my head. Why are you coming after me? Are you willing to lay your life down, or are you coming with all your heart? See, following Jesus means you come with everything. You can't hang on to something in the world that your flesh says, I want. I still need to have that. Jesus says, you have to be willing to let it go, whether I take it, whether you keep it. That's up to me. If you're going to serve me, you have to follow me. And what does that mean? It means this. That where I am, there my servant shall also be. Following Jesus means that if I'm in a place, in a circumstance, and among people or in fellowship, and I say to myself, is Jesus here? Is Jesus, is the Spirit of God in this? And I say no, then that ought not to be the place where I am, if I'm a disciple of Jesus. Because wherever Jesus is, that's where his disciples will be. And that means we're led by the Spirit of God. And that we know that because our consciences convict us, right? If you get guilt, you get shame, you say something, sometimes a couple hours later in the night, you're thinking about, oh, why did I say that? Why did this happen? Why did and the guilt comes. Well, this is the Spirit of God telling you, you weren't following Jesus. Because where Jesus is, if you followed him, you have peace and joy. And that's how he speaks to us. And he said, now, if anyone serves me, if you're coming after Jesus, with all that, all your heart, the Father will honor him. The Father will honor him. What is he saying? And you won't have to seek all the things in the world that the flesh wants for one thing, glory and honor. Right? Why do we seek after money? For some kind of honor, right? Pleasure, some glory in this present world. If it wasn't true, then Jesus, when he was on that high mountain, when the devil said to him, look, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the glory of these kingdoms, right? And all the splendor and wealth. Jesus said, no, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to serve me, you only seek one thing, one honor, and that's the honor of God, not the honor that comes from the world through pleasure. It can be through anything. It can be through sports, right? Can be. Money, image, reputation, status, all these things that we can feel pride in. That is the flesh seeking for honor. And Jesus is saying the cross means whenever we feel that, we deny that area in our life. To seek the honor of the Father. You cannot have the honor of God and the honor of men. You cannot have the honor of God or the glory, receive that glory within you and the glory of the world. And that's why Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. You can worship one and you're going to despise the other. Now we'll skip over to verse 34. The multitude therefore answered him, we have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. Well, how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Now there's the question. Who is the Son of Man? Who is Jesus to you? And they were asking. Jesus therefore said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that the darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. Now, this is an interesting statement. They were trying to find out, who is this Son of Man? Some of the ones who were, multitudes were following him. Now, Jesus wasn't interested in multitudes following him. He was interested in wholehearted discipleship. Those who would take up their cross. And he would sift through them. And so they said, who is the Son of Man? And Jesus says, well, the light is among you right now. And he said, walk while you have the light. See, God gives us a chance at times. This is the same for all of us, I believe. God will bring us to a place where he will show us a glimmer of light. He will reveal himself to us. And the light will begin to shine in our life and show us some things and areas in life where we know there's still darkness we need changing. And what Jesus is saying is that when you see those things in your life come, when he points his finger in areas in your heart and brings them and manifests them, he says you need to walk in obedience to those things while you have the conviction, while it's there. Because the darkness will desire to overtake you. For example, you remember about Cain, we talked about this. Cain is the example of a man who sought a form of godliness, who never offered his heart fully discipleship, with his heart of discipleship to God in faith. And as he sinned and his countenance fell, he became jealous of his brother, murdered his brother, and what did God say? Why is your countenance down? If you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. If you do not, he said, sin is crouching at the door and his desire is for you. Sin is crouching like a lion. He described it like a lion. It's like opening the door, right? And boom, and there it was. Cain did murder his brother. And so the darkness is desiring to overtake us in this way, right? So God warned Cain, and the light was shining on him. And the light was with him there for a moment. He could have repented. God gave him a chance. He could have repented. But the darkness wanted to overtake him, and he yielded to the darkness. He did not respond to the light. And that is how quickly he killed his brother. And Jesus was saying, look, the light is here now. You need to respond in faith when you have the light so that the darkness does not overtake you. What is the witness that the darkness is overtaking you? It says here, that person does not know where he goes. There's no vision, there's no hope, there's confusion, there's doubt. And when the devil brings these things into our life, we need to repent. Say, Lord, I can't see where I'm going right now. I'm confused. Show me the way. Help me to respond to the light. And Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of light. These multitudes who are following Jesus, it's so clear here. So many people following Jesus, but Jesus is saying they're not sons of God. Do you think it's the same today? People everywhere calling Jesus on Jesus' name, following after him, but their hearts aren't right. The same hearts of Cain. They've gone like the way of Cain, living for themselves, offering half-hearted sacrifices to God. This is the way of Cain. And their hearts aren't pure. They don't have true love. That's how it was manifest with Cain. He didn't love God. Whoever loves God loves his brother or neighbor born of God, right? The child born of God. And Cain didn't love God, and therefore he murdered his brother. And that's what lukewarm religion brings. It's about self, and there's no genuine love for a brother. These ones were following Jesus, and they did not have the light in themselves. And Jesus was telling them, you need to come after me. If you want to serve me, you need to deny yourself. And he was telling them about the cross. And it says here, and then Jesus spoke and hid, he spoke and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. So here we see there, he was doing all these signs that perhaps some might believe because of the signs, but his word was truth. And if they would receive his words, they could repent and find that life. And it says here that as Jesus was saying these things, it was fulfilling the prophecy spoken of Isaiah, where it says, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see that question? Who has believed our report? They weren't believing in Jesus. Can you be a follower of Jesus and not a believer in Jesus? According to this passage, you can. You can be a follower of Jesus and not a believer of Jesus. They stumble because they're disobedient to the word. But the one who believes, when Jesus brought them this message about the cross, many of them could not believe, and therefore these ones would stumble over the stumbling block. And the motives are revealed as we keep on reading here. Who has believed the report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see that? God was sending his own arm down to reveal himself, but they couldn't see it. the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? They couldn't understand who this Son of Man was. Because you can never see Jesus until you're willing to deny yourself. You know what it says? It says the veil is removed in Christ. When anyone comes to the Lord, it says the veil is removed. The confusion is gone. The life and the hope, it's all there. You can't see. God won't let you see that next step. He won't let you see what's ahead of you until you come to faith in Jesus' name. That is when he removes the cloudiness and the veil and the confusion. And he brings a life. And God was saying, look, I'm revealing my arm, but they can't see it. He was standing there with them. For this cause, they could not believe. As Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. You see the darkness that God brings upon them? Jesus was saying, if you don't believe in the light, what will happen is God is going to send delusion on you. He's going to send blindness over you because you don't want to believe. You don't want to pick up the cross and follow after me. Because your motives are for self. This false God. This false God of self that does not want to be denied. And God says, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and I heal them. You see, God wants to heal his people. He wants to heal them, but it has to do with the condition of their heart. God knows if you want to see or if you don't want to see. That's why Jesus said, and John reiterated it in his gospel, whoever is of God hears the words of God. Whoever is not of God, he cannot hear the words of God. If we cannot hear the words of God, it's because our hearts don't want to hear the truth, because we desire to live for this false God of self. But if we start to see it, if the light is shining, while we have the light, we must come and walk in the light and repent. So that our hearts don't become hardened, so that our eyes don't become blinded, so that the fear of God remains in our heart. And God would heal us and deliver us. Now Isaiah spoke these things because he saw his glory. Isaiah saw his glory. Do you know him? Isaiah saw Jesus. The glory of God manifested there. And he spoke those things by the Spirit of God. Nevertheless, it says here, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. You see how this approval of men is so closely connected to faith? We either believe Jesus' words or we're seeking the approval of men. We can't have both. We can say we believe in Jesus, as they did here, but they were even afraid to confess him because their motives were, what will people think of me if I get kicked out of the church? What will happen if my life starts to change and the people that I know start asking me questions and I'm afraid. What will I say? And so they were so afraid of losing their identity or who they thought they were or their whatever it was, some form of pride here, that they would not confess Jesus. They'd rather have this form of godliness, this religion, a religious Cain spirit, and stay in their synagogue there instead of follow the Christ who is walking right beside them. We would say that, how can that be, right? I mean, Jesus is right there, and they were choosing to actually to stay in the synagogue instead of follow Jesus. It's all coming back to those who were going to be his disciples and those who just follow the crowd. And here's the crowd not confessing Jesus. They're seeking honor from men. This is the fear of man. This is a false God. This is a false God. We've heard of the Ten Commandments, and we know that second commandment, I believe it is, we shall not make an image in the form of anything or worship that image. Well, this is a big image right here. Self, seeking honor. We make an image of ourselves, right? This approval of man, and God hates it. This is a major transgression. And when Jesus saw these things manifest, it says he cried out. He cried out because he knew that many were going to fall away at this point, and he was crying out to them. I believe it was coming out of his heart because he wanted them to be saved. And he was telling them, look, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. Why was Jesus saying that? Those Greeks who were coming to follow after Jesus. Jesus was not some man that we come and we say, you are from God. You do signs. We know you're from God. I believe in you. I put my trust in you. As though Jesus were a man. They were seeking the approval of men, and Jesus saw that and he said, look, if you're believing in me, I'm not like another man. When you believe in me, you are believing in the one who sent me. That is in the Father. He cried this out because he saw their motives were always to seek the approval of man, seek honor from man, esteem man. Look to this guy, look to this thing. Jesus said, no, it's not even me, it's the Father. He said, he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me. If you see me, you have seen the Father. I have come as light into the world. And everyone who believes in me, this is the result. It's not going to be that you're going to stay in the synagogue, in the church, in your sins. In that place, following the crowds and having no life, Jesus said the evidence will be that you will not stay in darkness. You'll be free. So now you know whether or not you have this faith, if you examine your heart and test. Because if we're still in darkness, then maybe we are like part of this crowd where we have some of these evil motives to seek the honor from men, approval from men, or this fear of man, or we're more afraid of what people say than what God thinks. And because of that, Jesus said the evidence is going to be that there'll be darkness still. And if you come to me, you can be free from the darkness. And that's why he said, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge them. I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. See, Jesus' heart, he cried out, he saw these things, but he did not come to judge. His heart was, he came to preach salvation. He wanted them to be free. He said, I'm not going to judge you, but my words will indeed judge you, that you've heard. If you seek after men and the approval of men, you will be judged. But if you seek after me, you may be free. And Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges them. They were saying they were believing in him. They were following after him. But what Jesus is saying is, you're rejecting me because you don't want to take my cross. You are more concerned about what people think. And he says, you're rejecting me. And if you reject me, Jesus says, there's one who judges him. The word which I spoke will judge him in the last day. Because Jesus is saying they're without excuse because they know he spoke the truth. He cried out these things, that their conscience might be quickened, that they might repent. He said, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. Jesus was being led by the Spirit of God. These utterances were coming by the Spirit inside of him. They were just flowing out of him. What is he saying here? He's saying, my words are not my own. You're not listening to the words of men here. As though some of them are coming and say, I believe in this man, or I believe what this guy says, and I read these books, or I go to these tapes, I'm trying to find Jesus here. You know, I talked to someone recently about this. What would you recommend? You know, what should I give this guy? I want to convert someone, and here, what should I read? This. I said, you know, if Christ is in you, you don't have to worry about it. What you're going to say, or what to recommend, I says, the city on a hill can't be hidden. They'll know if Jesus is in you. They'll see it. You won't have to try. You don't have to worry about the bowl on your lap because it's just shining, right? It says your works are going to shine before men, that they'll see it and glorify God. And Jesus is saying, these aren't my own words. They're not the words of men. God has given me life, and this life is flowing out of me. And these words I speak because they give life to those who hear them. And Jesus said, I know that his commandment, the ones I speak to you, is eternal life. I'm not just speaking about picking up your cross and denying yourself and following me just to follow after me. No. Jesus is saying, I'm speaking these things that you might have life. His motive was not to have men follow him. His motive was that they would have eternal life. Not even Jesus was seeking for them to come after him just to have a crew following him. That wasn't his motive. Therefore, he said, I speak the things just as the Father has told me. This is the heart that Jesus has. In John chapter 5, it's an important verse for us to see. Just confirms the things he's been talking about. The Pharisees and the Jews stumbled big time over this offense, the stumbling block of receiving glory and honor from men. This is why they could not believe in Jesus. Well, it's a danger we need to guard against, this fear. We fear the ones we also seek to please. That's why we fear men. These Jews had knowledge of the scriptures. They were searching them, but they didn't have life. In verse 40, Jesus said, the reason that the scriptures are for us, the reason we read this word today, is for what reason? That we would come to Jesus. Right? Verse 40, that we would have life. That's why we hear the word of God, is that we would have life. This is why I'm telling you that that if we have this false god in our heart that seeks for our glory and honor, it robs us of life. God wants us to have life. I do not receive glory from men, Jesus said. There it's clear. He made it clear. But he said, I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. That's just like Cain, right? He didn't have the love of God in himself either because he sought for his own glory and honor, ambitions of the world. And Jesus said that if we're not coming after him, we can't have the love of God in our hearts. We'll have selfish ambitions. This false god of self, it's going to rob God of his glory. And we're not going to be able to receive his love in our hearts. And Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, you will just receive him. You see that? We have to guard against that. We've had struggles with that in the past, right? Because when we hear things from people, and there's even anointing there, or there's something, we tend to follow after man at times as well. Right? Or on the other side, if we're in the world and that we have friends that are, you know, telling us one thing, we hear the word of God, and then we leave that environment, and we go back into sort of the world, and we talk amongst the people around, and we start to doubt the things that we heard God tell us, and we start to believe the things that men are telling us. And this is another form what Jesus is saying. You're receiving what someone else is, and so we're rejecting God's word. That's how we reject the word of God. Right? Someone says, well, you know, it's not that serious. And then Jesus is speaking to me, and I accept someone else's word over. Well, that's like Adam. Adam had this problem. It's in the flesh, right? We have the same nature until we come to Christ and repent and take up our cross. We'll do the same as Adam did. Adam heard God's word, and he received God's word, but then his wife came along, and his wife had some other information to give him, and he received her words over God's words. And you can't serve two masters. And that's why Adam was cast out of the garden for that sin. God's word was not more important than his own wife's word. That's why Jesus says part of picking up the cross and denying yourself means you have to hate father, mother, son, daughter, wife, even your own life. And that means that when God's word is spoken to you, it doesn't matter what someone else says, God's word is more important. I have come in my Father's name, Jesus said, you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? You see what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying that we cannot believe his word if we have these motives in our heart. We're more concerned about what people think. If we have a heart of man-pleasing, we don't want to die to that. And so Jesus says we can't believe. It's impossible. The devil will rob you with every bit of faith you have the moment you look to men. The fear of man is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. If we seek the approval and the honor of men, it's a snare. Look at Saul. Saul had a big crash because of this one thing. This one thing that Saul struggled with. He said, I have sinned indeed. After the prophet came, Samuel rebuked him and said, look it. He said, this rebellion is like witchcraft. And he says, this insubordination is as idolatry. This is why I say this is a false god, this honor of men. It's idolatry. Even the prophet spoke it to Saul. This was an idol, this fearing man, because he made an image for himself and he sought honor from people. We're afraid about what people think. Saul was terrified about what people thought about him. He lost the fear of God. In the beginning, he wanted to hear the voice of God, and when he heard certain things, and you know the enemies of God were coming upon the people, he just got the spirit of God upon him, and he shred up an oxen, and you know people were just terrified. And he feared God, you know, vengeance for the name of God. But then all of a sudden he got deceived by people, what people thought. And he made an image, and God says, this is idolatry. You're serving a false god, Saul. Doing things for the honor of men. This is a false god. And I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. And Saul transgressed because of this thing, this fear of man. How can you believe when you have this glory, this desire for glory? Jesus said, do not think I will accuse you before your Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. See, Moses was a man. Moses was until the time that God had given them the law. But now Jesus had come. And Jesus is saying, it's about me. It's not about Moses. That's why he said, you know, it's not about the scripture. It's about coming to me. So they would put their hope in Moses. Why? Because if I'm connected to Moses, I'm saved, right? Just like the Jews. We're Abraham's children. You see how this evil root comes back? This honoring of men? This thing that Howard Pittman was talking about? We're yoked up with some name, right? As long as so-and-so approves that we're part of this thing, right? This fellowship, this church, just like they were in the synagogue. No, we got to have the name that part of this congregation. Jesus said, look, if you believe in Moses, you got to believe in me. These scriptures and the things Moses wrote was to show you and point you to me. And what did Moses write? You shall not make an image and worship an image. And why is that? So that when we see those evil motives, we repent and come to Jesus to get the life. And he said to them, if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So even in all these things, they didn't actually believe that word they were reading. Because it's like someone who has a belief, and he searches the scriptures to find out and affirm what he believes is true. That person will never receive revelation from God. The person who has an idea, a doctrine in his head, and he's looking through the scriptures. I used to do that with certain things when I would debate with certain people, but I didn't have full clarity, but I believed, so I was trying to find those scriptures, but I didn't get the life out of it. Never got the life out of it. Just didn't feel good about that. We don't have to try and find out what we believe. We can just say, Lord, I don't understand. I need you to show me. And when we search the scriptures because we want to know truth, we want to know the truth, we want to find Jesus, that's when the light turns on. And that's when we don't have to remain in darkness and in bondage or sin to the fear of man and seeking the approval of man. This is a false God. God wants us to tear down this idol in our lives. This desire to find approval and what someone else thinks about me. It's not from God. It's about what Jesus thinks. Jesus said that he searches the hearts and the motives and that no creature is hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare. If we remember that, then God will show us quickly the things that we're lifting up above him. In Romans it says that they worshipped and served the creation or the creature rather than the creator. And they exchanged the glory. So Jesus said, how can you believe when you receive glory from another? That is a form of idolatry. We miss Jesus and we look to what people think, whether it's friends, family, people in our own fellowship. We need to die to that fear. It doesn't matter what we die. That's why Jesus said, if you come after me, you have to lose your life. Now we know what that looks like. When I have to lose my life, I die into my reputation and what everybody else thinks about. It doesn't matter what I'm going to lose from it, what I'm not going to get. If my motive is to please, to do these things because I know I'm going to get a benefit out of it. It's idolatry. It's a false god there. It's all for the name of Jesus. And in that, in dying, the things that we're looking for, the things that we are seeking, that joy, that satisfaction, it all comes from Jesus. We don't have to get it from those people we're seeking for approval from. We don't have to get it from the things in the world. We don't have to get that from status. We can receive that from Jesus because Jesus said, when you come to me, I'm going to give you the life. And you believe, right? You don't have to fear what man thinks. And the life comes, and you can't stop it. It just flows.